Hello and welcome to this podcast with your host, Paul Miller. Today I talk with Jim Curry, Vice President for Corporate Development at Rackspace and Chief Stacker at OpenStack. We discuss the OpenStack project and look at the ways in which it has evolved from earlier work by Rackspace and NASA. We discuss the growing strength of the OpenStack Consortium and explore some of the implications for the wider cloud industry. For more information on this show and others in the series, please see the show notes at cloudofdata.com. Thank you. Jim, thank you very much for joining me for this podcast today. Before we get into some of the detail around OpenStack, can you tell listeners a bit about yourself and your own background, please?
Sure. Paul, thank you for taking the time to talk to me. I am Jim Curry. I am the Vice President of Corporate Development for Rackspace. I've been with Rackspace for about 5 years and have had responsibility for incubating new initiatives at the company, including new geographies, new lines of business, as well as evaluating new technology platforms and opportunities for us. I am also the chief stacker on OpenStack. I run that for both Rackspace and for the community, and it's a new initiative for us that we launched about a month ago, but well into that, and looking forward to talking more about it.
Okay, so OpenStack, what is it?
OpenStack is a project that we launched with the goal of creating an open source alternative for companies that want to build either public or private clouds. And we launched this based upon our own actual experience in the cloud space. We started out building our own cloud about 5 years ago, and that was a path we had no choice but to take. There weren't any good reliable open source or off-the-shelf solutions at that time. I shouldn't even say good or reliable, there just weren't any. And so we headed down the path of coding our own cloud. And as we've gone along, we've always looked at alternatives on, you know, is this the right way to go? It is a fairly unusual thing for Rackspace in that while we rely on leading technology and technology for our customers, we certainly don't usually build it. So we know we use operating systems such as Linux and Microsoft and databases such as MySQL and SQL and Oracle, et cetera. And we put that all together and put the magic of fanatical support on top of it. Cloud has been very different. It's one that we had to continue to put our own efforts into developing it. And we continued down this path for some time, and we looked up last year, and 10% of our business was based on this platform we'd built ourselves. We're putting a lot of money into it. And while it was very successful, we're the second largest public cloud. We also recognize that we were also, to some extent, creating problem with regards to cloud adoption, which was by creating a cloud which was based on the technology that we built, we were causing customers to have some issues with thinking about lock-in. So if you're a customer and you're looking at cloud today, you look at Rackspace, you look at Amazon, you look at GoGrid, you look at any number of the different service providers out there, we've all built technologies that, while similar, are different enough at both the API and services layer that customers have to think about re-architecting when they move, and that creates lots of fear of lock-in. And we recognize this is a problem that we're contributing to by building our own stuff, and so really got serious about, is this the right way to be building our business and the right thing for customers? And we also thought that you know, it was a time in which there had been obviously a lot of momentum in cloud. There was a lot of new technologies that were coming online. So last year we really wanted to dig back into it and spend some time looking at it. Well, we came out with fairly having the same solution conclusion, which was these are things that unfortunately we have to do on our own. You know, let's figure out how to make that work best. And then it hit us. You know, we're you know, very large player. We are big users of open source. I already mentioned a couple of open source projects we use, Linux and MySQL, and we've been contributors to those projects, but there's lots of others. And we've been big fans of it. And we said, well, we're in a position where we could actually launch one of these. We've built a cloud at scale. We know a lot about it. We think we can help bring the industry along and drive cloud adoption. And so this spring, we made a decision to head down the path of open sourcing the technology behind our cloud. And actually, at the point at which we had made this decision, was May, we got board approval. We all of a sudden noticed in June that the team from NASA had thrown some code over the wall that they intended to open source. And we'd been aware that NASA had been building their own internal cloud for use by the scientific community and others, and it paid some attention to it, but you know, we never seen the code or knew much about it beyond what had been publicly stated, which wasn't a whole lot. And we looked at the code and saw the direction they were taking and what they were commenting about on the where they wanted to go with the project, and recognized that they had a very similar technology platform and mindset. And so we sat down with that team and recognized that they saw the world the same way we did. They were trying to build a very large scale service provider cloud for the NASA community. It looked very much like ours. They'd encountered many of the same problems we had in building it at scale, and we really hit it off. And they had made the decision that they wanted to do the exact same thing we were doing, which is let's get the community in here to help us. Let's get everyone building towards this. NASA wanted to make sure that the technology they built was also made available to the world. NASA, believe it or not, in their mandate, has that part of their job is to take whatever technology they build and make it available for the good of mankind. I don't want to sound cheesy, but it's in their charter. And people are probably familiar with the fact that NASA has created Tang and Velcro and all kinds of other stuff, but they've done some really amazing technology things, including this. So we made the decision to take the code that they had built and integrate it into our project and get their developers actively working on that code base with us. So we took there's two pieces to the OpenStack project, or two sub projects under it today. One of them is called OpenStack Compute. It is compute infrastructure as a service. Looks very similar to what you would get from an Amazon EC2. The core of it is based on what NASA had built as their version 2, and we are now in the process of layering the Rackspace code on top of it, and expect to have the first release of that unified code in October 21st. There's a lot of code out there today, so certainly people can go and take a look at it, but we think the first release that will be packaged up and sort of ready for developers to really start hammering away at it will be in about a month. And then the second piece of it is called OpenStack Object Storage, which is what powers our cloud files storage offering. It's very similar to S3. That code was adopted by NASA in whole. They didn't have a similar solution, and they deployed it internally. We released that code when we announced the project in July. It's out there. It's ready to go. It is production ready. And we have a lot of people who are already beginning to put in production at other service providers and enterprises. So that's kind of that's a history of how we got here and what the project is. Ultimately, you know, we are believers that the right thing to do is to, for all our industry, for hardware providers and others who are very interested in building private clouds for enterprises, we believe that the orchestration layer for cloud is something that should be commoditized. It shouldn't be something that's held hostage to certain hypervisors or technologies. It should be stuff that no one really has to think about. You just deploy, and we can all go and work on the pieces of the puzzle that we really care about. In Rackspace's case, that's really providing a great support experience for customers and taking technology, making it work together, and troubleshooting it when it's broke. For others, that might be applying more advanced application solutions on top of OpenStack. For others, it might be just figuring out how to offer it as cheap as possible and offering it at half the price that Rackspace does. Who knows? For enterprises, it might be trying to figure out where this solution might fit versus some of the enterprise alternatives they use for virtualization, or how to integrate those things together. But ultimately, what we want to do is take the power of the community, bring it together, and innovate on something that we think is something that should be commoditized and worked on together. So that's where we are, and we're very happy with the results so far. We have a large number of developers in the project. I was on IRC, which is where the developers interact, and this morning we had over 150 developers out there, which means 120 of them are not employed by us or NASA. We've had, I think, 2,000 bug submissions at this point. We have lots of active branches of the code being worked, so we've been very happy with it. We'll be putting out some more details. It may have already gone out. It may go out while we're on this podcast on roadmap direction, and we're starting to get a little bit more forward thinking and where this project is not only going to be in October, but where we want it to be early next year and throughout the year, so that enterprises and others who might deploy can start thinking about where to go.
Sounds good. Now, you mentioned the Rackspace cloud there and NASA's work on Nebula. For someone who's seen the innards of either of those, how similar do they look to their OpenStack equivalent? Have you simply taken those code lines and chucked them over the wall into the open source community, or are you only letting out parts of it that make sense at the moment?
Yeah, so I'll start with the easy one. So OpenStack Object Storage is exactly the code that powers our Cloud Files offering. So if you take the code out there and deploy it today, you're using the code that we use for Cloud Files. Now, I want to be clear about one thing. What we haven't done is open source our entire implementation of it. We've made sure that we did is that we took out all the pieces that are very particular to Rackspace, and made those things that could be pluggable by others based on their needs. So, for example, billing systems or tracking systems or ticketing systems or anything that people need to turn it into an offer, whether that be a service provider offer or whether that be an plugging it into enterprise offerings. So the hooks are there, but all the implementation of it from Rackspace is not there. And there's a good reason for that. A lot of that code is not open sourceable because it's third-party code that we pay for. It's code that some of it might be code that we feel like powers our magic of providing fanatical support, such as our ticketing system, things along those lines. But it is the core code behind what allows you to deploy an object storage. So you can put it out there and start writing to it today. Same in Nebula. I can't say where NASA is in deploying object storage. I know they had intentions of getting object storage deployed as part of their next release on Nebula, which I believe was sometime this month. But they obviously they only published that inside of NASA since it's only available to the NASA community. The compute's a little bit different. So the compute offering today looks like neither one of our offerings. So we are running our existing legacy compute code base until we feel like OpenStack reaches both feature parity with our code base as well as the scalability needs we needed to have in order to deploy it. We expect it to be there early next year, and our commitment to the community is that once it gets there, that we will deploy OpenStack as our offering. But we think it needs a little bit more work, and we're in this position because we're trying to put two projects together, and it just takes some time to make that happen. The good news is by doing that, we're going to have a much more powerful code base than we did before. So previously it was Zen Server only. Now we'll have Zen Server, KVM, UVM, and VirtualBox as all hypervisor offerings. There's some substantial improvements in some of the other components too. I don't need to go into in detail, but we're very happy that not only is it something that we think is going to be as good as what we have today, but we think it'll be substantially better than what we would have gotten if we'd gone our own based on the contribution we've seen so far. Nebula, because the code that we're basing the compute off of started from the Nebula code base, I think it probably looks a lot closer to what they have today. But again, it's evolved fairly rapidly to be somewhat different because of the Rackspace add-ons on top of it. And again, they are, as with Rackspace, they're keeping the specifics around their implementation of that stuff internal. And a lot of stuff that NASA does, as you might imagine, is around security and authentication and things along those lines. Some of that may or may not get added to the project as we go along, but we're going to start with what we have and then evaluate how it makes sense to expand the project later.
That makes sense. Okay. So, looking at this from NASA's perspective, you can see why they would be interested. You know, they have a reasonably small development team, real problems to solve. By doing this, they get access to over 100 developers at the moment, and more potentially out in the community that can make their cloud better for solving NASA's problems. Looked at simplistically, what Rackspace has done is leveled the playing field and given all the competitors the access to 4 years of development effort.
Right.
What's in it for Rackspace?
Well, you know, it's a really good question. So I'll address it in a couple of ways. Number one is let's look ahead of us, right? There's a large number of competitors that are, one of which is ahead of us today in Amazon in terms of size, that have substantially more developers than we do and at their core development organization. There are a number of up-and-comers that you might be familiar with, lots of names, who are also trying to build clouds as well, who can throw a lot of development talent at this. And while we're very pleased with our development team and the code we built and the position we've dug for ourselves, I think that it's a much better solution long-term to take the power of the community and build this solution together rather than try to do it on our own. I think it's a very hard proposition for a company like ourselves that is relatively small, that is more of a support organization than we are a development organization, to really keep that path up. So from our perspective, what Rackspace will get out of it from a technology offering will be substantially better than what we had if we went on our own. So we'll end up with more features. We'll get those features quicker. We'll have more eyes looking at the code and troubleshooting it. And we think that will provide us with a much more powerful code on which to base our cloud offering going forward. The other thing is, you're asking about empowering our competitors, and we're actually very excited to see a lot of the hosting industry get behind this and want to stand it up. And it goes back to what I said earlier, which is customers want that to happen. So they're very excited for Rackspace to see where we are, and they like our support. But they say the same thing to us. There may be times at which we want to use other service providers for different reasons. Maybe it's based on geography. Maybe it's based on we don't need Fanatical support on certain things. I would love to, you know, certainly get all of our customers' business, but we're realistic about the fact that there's times they're going to want to go with someone else. They also want to have the comfort that if we don't do our job well at Rackspace, that they can easily migrate somewhere else. That was very easy to do in the days of dedicated environments, where if you had a Linux environment and you wanted to migrate it somewhere else, yes, it required work, but you didn't have to think a whole lot about the Linux environment that an alternative service provider was running. You just migrated it. And that is not the case in cloud today. And so what they want to see is that if there are other OpenStack powered clouds, that they'll have the option of choosing those when it makes the most sense for them. So we believe in that. We don't believe in lock-in. We, as a company, really want to make sure that if a customer is not happy or doesn't see value in what we're providing, that it's easy for them to go somewhere else. And so we are hoping to help our competitors make that happen. And I think they have an incentive to want to work with us as well, because while we are much smaller versus some of the larger technology players getting into cloud, there are obviously a large number of folks, even smaller than us, that don't have the money to invest in this technology and are looking for the right solutions, and certainly view the problem that customers are facing the same way we do. So we've been very, if you saw our original announcement, we had a number of service providers in there. It continues to grow. I expect you'll start to see some service providers announcing object storage this year as an offering, or offerings powered by OpenStack object storage. And then as compute gets more mature early part of next year, I think we'll start to see those get stood up as well. And we're actively on the OpenStack team actively promoting that.
And are you seeing any interest from either the big one, Amazon, or some of the incumbents, I guess people like, you know, HP, IBM and the like, who are clearly getting into this space as a way of meeting the needs of their existing enterprise customers?
Yeah, we are. So, you know, Amazon is not a partner on this. We would love to work with Amazon. They're obviously they've built a very strong platform. We admire at Rackspace, we admire them tremendously, and certainly we would love to have them involved in the OpenStack project. We have had, I don't want to speak specifically to some of those names, since I can only talk about ones that we've announced. But folks like Dell, Citrix, other enterprise players have really embraced OpenStack because they do see the need to have a private cloud offering for their customers. And while there are some, while they traditionally have great enterprise cloud solutions, and I don't use the term disparagingly, but they're looking for commodity cloud solutions as well, things that are lower cost, higher scale, that don't necessarily have all the bells and whistles that you would find on an enterprise virtualization solution, but get the job done. We have been actually at OpenStack actively working with those partners, not only to build their offerings, but there have been a number of large enterprises up front who have wanted to stand up proof of concepts of OpenStack to prove out what it can do, and ultimately see if it's something they could deploy in their enterprise. We've honestly been a little bit overwhelmed with that. One of the things we did not expect was enterprises to be interested in exploring this early on, but they have been, and I think the partner community that we have established has been a big reason for that. They've actively embraced OpenStack and are pushing it. So we've been very pleased with that. Rackspace is obviously, we are an enterprise company. We do deal with businesses, but that's specifically around the hosting space. We don't know enterprise internal deployments near as well, or enterprise integrations. So we're very happy that we have partners on the OpenStack project who do and who are embracing this and pushing it forward.
And do you think that enterprise interest is primarily around deploying a private cloud in their own data center, or primarily around some sort of hybrid solution that's going to allow them to move from their own data center to various hosting providers outside the firewall?
We have both. We have had for a long time customers contact Rackspace wanting to run our cloud, but run it in a dedicated walled off environment. They wanted to, they saw the value of having our cloud. They wanted to provide a service offering internally and have that look a lot like a public cloud, but they wanted to keep it private. But we never had a solution for offering that. And today, obviously, we do. So we have customers who are very interested in hosting it with us in a dedicated environment. And we also have a lot of customers who are looking at running it internally. I know of a couple right now that are thinking about how they do a hybrid offering and make the two work together. We ultimately think that this gets down to, you know, customers need to be able to decide what's best for them. You know, we are a hosting company. We ultimately believe it doesn't make a lot of sense to run your own IT environment. That it's something that, like electricity at the turn of the last century, you shouldn't maintain or run your own server factories just the way you don't run your own electricity generating stations. So we would like to, we believe this is a trend that's going to continue, that we'll continue to see more and more IT equipment moved into hosting providers due to the advantages of doing so. And I think cloud will help accelerate that. But we also recognize it's a long-term trend. It's not going to occur overnight. And enterprises will need help in making that transition. And certainly the ability to run a cloud internally that looks like clouds that you can consume externally will help with that as well. And many of the customers we've talked to have said that to us. They've said, look, we're looking at virtualizing as much to run a private cloud internally for the benefits internally as to start to begin to think about those are the workloads as being ones that we could migrate out to public clouds as it makes sense and as we can justify that as the right thing for our business. So we're seeing all things. We want to offer whatever customers want, whatever the choices that they need to power their solutions and meet the needs of their customers and employees.
So OpenStack wouldn't agree with Werner Vogels then that private clouds are false clouds?
No, we would not.
No comment further than that.
No, it's, you know, they're, I would say, you know, Amazon has not been, Amazon has been very strong in stating that they believe that the only way to consume cloud is through a public cloud. And again, from a Rackspace perspective, we would agree that in most cases, for customers, it makes sense to look at outsourcing your environment to a hoster. There are certainly situations where that doesn't make sense, and there's customers who aren't ready for that yet. And we don't look at this as something that we need to fight as a religious war. We just want to solve customers' problems and do what we can to help them and achieve their business goals. And if they believe that private cloud is the solution they need, then we're gonna help them with that. And we certainly have been. We certainly see through OpenStack now how big the demand is, and are very happy that we can help make that happen.
Okay, good. Now, one of the big dreams for a long time in the cloud has been this idea of interoperability, that I'll be able to move my applications from one cloud provider to another. In theory, you can do that reasonably easily with data right now. It's applications that are harder.
That's right.
How close does the OpenStack release in the next month or two bring us to that vision? If there's an OpenStack compliant offering running at Rackspace and an OpenStack compliant offering running at cloud.com or whoever it may be, am I actually going to be able to realize this dream?
That would be one of the major goals. So I'll address it on a couple of levels. One is at the API level. You know, API compatibility is going to be one thing that a project like this would bring. We have a set of APIs, the OpenStack REST-based APIs, that will be one of the requirements for someone that wants to declare themselves an OpenStack cloud. And that's very important. Obviously, many applications and many environments only interact with clouds via the APIs. They, you know, we have customers now that interact with our cloud via a control panel, but the vast majority of things that that are required for interaction occur at the API level. And we're hoping that this will help help promote that standard. So again, we have our own APIs that's tied specifically to the OpenStack roadmap that will allow interoperability. The second piece of it is that the services behind those APIs also need to look very similar. So one of the problems that you have with clouds is that the way they are architected is all very different. So Amazon has built their cloud to run a particular way and requires a certain application design. And while that is great for certain environments, certainly customers who've been running applications inside their firewall who've moved to Amazon have found that they've had to re-architect to meet Amazon's requirement. When we launched our cloud, we very much wanted it to look like a physical server looks, so that customers could easily migrate their applications over without a lot of rework. And our experience prior to OpenStack had been that we have a large We obviously have a large number of customers and partners and who've already architected to our cloud. They've been very pleased with how that worked. And so we believe that continuing that with OpenStack is very important. So everyone who's running OpenStack compliant environments will have a similar services offering behind the APIs, which will help with application portability. Now, one thing I want to state, we don't have beyond the API requirement, we haven't stated anything about what it will be required to be OpenStack certified. Part of that is just we're a month into the project. We are not trying to do this as a mandate or a dictate from Rackspace. We want to actively solicit community input in the right way to do this and communicate that out. But we will have a set of standards that's required to call yourself OpenStack certified or OpenStack compliant. And we'll release that so that customers can feel comfortable that when they choose to go host with somebody that is OpenStack certified, that they can be assured that the application they're running in another OpenStack environment will work there as well.
And will OpenStack as an organization be incorporated in such a way that it could go after people making false claims about this? You know, if I'm a large bank, or whatever it is, a large potential customer going for an OpenStack certified offering, and that's not actually what I'm getting, that's potentially quite serious.
Yeah, we do want to make sure we protect what the brand means to the community so that they can feel comfortable about it. You know, we did release the code under the Apache license. So certainly people can take the code base, they can fork it, they can integrate it into other projects. So the OpenStack code could certainly exist in other environments that are not OpenStack compliant. But in order to call them to yourself an OpenStack service provider or to have an OpenStack certified enterprise environment, we do want to have a common set of requirements. And I think we'll get to that point later this year where we can state that. Paul, if you'll let me, I'll just kind of explain a little bit about the roadmap too. I think that'd be helpful for folks to know. So the October 21st release is one that will, on the compute side, again, as I said, storage is production ready and will have continue to have releases, but is good to go now. The one that released in October is more of a developer release. It will be set up so that developers can download a machine and really start playing with it. It will be able to run on a single cluster up to maybe 1,000 machines, but it certainly is not able to operate at high scale. We anticipate those scaling requirements to vastly be accelerated by a second release, which would be in January. On January 17th is what we're targeting right now, so 3 months later. And then we expect that by April of next year, our third release and our what will also be our third design conference, that we'll have achieved the scalability that will be required for Rackspace to run on top of it. So we're starting with a developer release in about a month and a half, something that will in January that will scale beyond a single cluster and will allow people to begin deploying it in smaller environments, and then something in April that a company the size of Rackspace that has hundreds of thousands of machines can consider building their cloud off of. So really rapid progress in our eyes in terms of the evolution of the project, but we do have a little ways to go. And that's part of the reason why we haven't issued all of our certification requirements yet, is we don't expect to see compute clouds up and running until the early part of next year. And as we're going in and talking to enterprises and talking to service providers, we are actively soliciting what they think are the right requirements to call yourself OpenStack certified to achieve the very goal you outlined, which is providing assurance to enterprises that their applications will be portable.
Makes sense. Good. So over those three releases, then, you're very much pointing to an increase in scale and capability. Is there also work to be done in terms of accessibility? How scary are the first releases going to be?
No, if you're speaking specifically in terms of security...
Or in terms of a developer and the quality of the documentation and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yes, got it. Right now, here's how I would put it. You have to have a fairly strong stomach as a developer to work with it today, and that will probably be the case on October 21st too. We expect that to evolve rapidly. One thing that we on the OpenStack team we're actively trying to do is we're trying to run this somewhere between a thrown over the wall, somewhat unmanaged open source project to one that looks like, for lack of a better comparison, a really well packaged up Apple product. So we are taking seriously the idea that you need very good documentation both for developers and for end users, how to install it and manage it and so forth. And so we are actively in that process. We have a team within OpenStack who are 100% focused on the documentation and packaging. We actually on Tuesday had a our first technical writer join the OpenStack team. She's in the her name is Ann Gentle. She is in the process of putting together from the community a team of technical writers to tackle both the development and user challenges of working with OpenStack. But we are taking very seriously that that goal of making this something that's very that gets easier and easier for developers and others to use. And we certainly are making ourselves available. Our team is actively answering questions as they come up. We are in IRC all day long. We are on the mailing lists. We'll make sure that we're helping customers out, but you certainly have to have a strong stomach today. There will be, what I would also say is if someone is serious about deploying it and trying it out in an enterprise, there are folks including Rackspace, there are other companies such as Cloud Scaling and Cloud.com, other folks who are very interested in helping enterprises and service providers begin standing this up and are developing expertise around it. So even if people don't want to take on the challenge themselves but are very interested in trying OpenStack and seeing how it works, there are third parties out there that are getting into this and can help with that as well.
Sounds good. So there's the, clearly the two main projects at the moment, one essentially storage and the other one compute. As you get past these early releases, where do you go next? Do you continue to iterate those, or are there obvious gaps to start filling with other projects?
Well, compute is a little bit of a misnomer as a single kind of sub-project. There's so many pieces to compute that will continually require optimization. You know, the obvious one is there's continually hypervisor additions. And on top of each of those hypervisors is optimization work that needs to occur. And there's networking work. There's all kinds of things that you can do in compute. So compute will evolve. You know, there's a roadmap that if we've sat down and drew it out, could go for years, I'm certain. And we already have one that goes out a couple years. But it, certainly there's a lot of work we could do there. You know, we set the intent of the project fairly broad. We want to allow the capability for us, for the project to deliver on an orchestration layer for cloud that can grow to millions of hosts. So scalability is going to be one thing that we're going to have to continually think about and evolve. And I think that scalability will be one of those things that you continue to see compute and storage innovate on top of and put a lot of efforts in thinking about. In terms of additional functionality on top of that, I think there's lots of different technologies that could fit within that mandate, and we're going to we've actually got blueprints in from the community and submissions from the community that they'd like to see OpenStack consider, and we want to have a discussion with the community about whether they make sense. And they include things like load balancing and different ways of approaching the APIs and different things that would include expansion of the project. So I do expect that we will see the project begin to take on different sub-projects that expand on the mandate, but we, you know, right now have our work cut out with these two releases. We don't want to focus much more beyond where we are today, but we do want to start getting input on what people think are relevant. And ultimately, again, you know, as much as this is a Rackspace-led project, we want to be responsive to the community, even if there are things that Rackspace doesn't necessarily need for our cloud. If the community feels like it's important to achieve the project's goals, then we're going to embrace those and drive them forward. So, yeah, the short answer to your question is I think we'll see more expansion. I just don't know what it is at this point.
Okay, so the community can start shouting if there are particular things they need.
There are, and in fact, I would encourage the community to go to Launchpad, register, take a look at the blueprints that are there. There's been a number submitted, and the blueprints aren't all for things that should be built in the next 3 or 6 months. They're for items that will be on the roadmap over the next 12 to 24 months. Certainly go to OpenStack.org and look at the wiki. There's lots of conversations up there, and we expect that tone to increase. We do have we have our next design conference on November, the week of November 8th in San Antonio, Texas. We expect leading up to that there to be a lot of discussion about what we should discuss at the conference in terms of roadmap goals. And certainly at that conference, there'll be a wide-ranging discussion. But there's a lot of stuff out there that folks can go and read about.
Sounds good. Thank you. So just before I finish off then, is there anything I should have asked you and didn't?
No, I think you covered some very good questions. You know, I think that, you know, I think what we've been amazed about on this, when we launched into it, we came into it with fairly humble expectations. You know, we didn't know what to expect. from the community reaction. We certainly didn't know how our competitors would respond to this, and we've been really pleased with it. But you know, I do want to be clear: we're really early in this project. We're very happy with the success. We're very happy with the press that we've gotten. It's 6 weeks old at this point. And the only way it's going to be successful is if the community chooses for it to be successful and wants to get behind it. Rackspace is certainly going to provide the people and the dollars to drive it. But ultimately, if the community doesn't see value in it and doesn't put the development effort into it and doesn't have their users who are deploying this contribute feedback on to the documentation that we have, and if we don't have users actively answering questions around their expertise, areas of expertise on the project, then this thing is not going to move forward. So, we want to pat ourselves on the back and say, you know, as the community say, great, we've done something really neat here and everyone's very excited about it. But I also want to be realistic. This is a big goal. It's not something that it's a success is assured in. It is going to require the community to want it to be successful. And so anyone who's listening to this podcast, please, you know, if you're interested, join in. We would love to have you. Don't think, depending on what you, if there's anything that you can think of that you want to do, from development to writing to marketing to speaking, to HTML, anything. We have needs in every area, and we've gotten lots of folks who've sent us notes saying, you know, I don't think I can write the code you need, but I want to help. And we love those. We'll take them. We think we've got a lot of work to do to prove this thing out. And until we start to see it stood up in a production environment, then I don't think we can consider any of the goals achieved. Today is great, and we're very happy, but we have a lot of work to do, and so we don't want to declare anything a success. We actually want to declare the opposite, which is it's a great start, but please, you know, if you really want this to be successful, join in and help us.
Sounds good, and a good point on which day to end. So good luck with OpenStack, and I look forward to seeing those releases in the next month or so. Thank you, Jim.
Thanks, Paul.